Three, two.
Got up this morning, said I feel round for my shoes. You know about it, got them all walking blues. Now, ooh, Lord, I feel around for my shoes. I say, yeah, nobody got them all load of walking blues.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Johnny's Secret Stash on Radio Harbor Country, 106.7 FM WRHC out of Three Oaks, Michigan, and 93.5 WRHZ out of Sawyer, Michigan. I'm John Goldman, also known as Johnny LaSalle. I'm here with my co-host today, Adam Conley. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. How was your week?
It's been good.
All right.
It's nice out.
Yeah. How about that? We're here in the studio in Three Oaks, Michigan. Beautiful day out there. Our show is underwritten by Harbor Country Hydroponics. Everything you need to grow your own secret stash. So we're excited to be here today. We're going to play some of our favorite songs, deep tracks or not, kind of whatever we want to play. We also have a special guest, not in the studio, but was able to do his interview yesterday, and it's going to be kind of interesting to hear his interview and then give you some of my perspective on how I thought that show went. He played at the Acorn last night. Anyway, let's move right to a fresh song. Here's the Rolling Stones, Hoodoo Blues, on All Over the on Johnny's Secret Stash. All right, as Rolling Stones with Hoodoo Blues off of Blue and Lonesome album. Remember
yeah,
when they did
great
that
record.
One?
Yeah, yeah. Don was produced that.
Yeah, it was, you know, one of those stories. They went into the studio. I mean, you know, it sounds like a little bit of a a cop-out. They went in the studio. They didn't quite have all their writing put together, and they were just jamming around, and they were like, well, you know, why don't we just go back to our roots and play some of this, you know, old-time blues music? And
yeah.
I don't think there was a lot of cultivation in there on what they were going to play. They just started playing, and then this song list kind of came out of it. So
yeah, I think he kind of cajoled them into doing it, and
yeah,
you know, they would
Don
they were just be like, all right, we'll just play some old blues song to get warmed up or whatever, and then he would press record, and then then they would get nothing done. Like, play another one of, you know, your old blues songs, and they would do another one, and you'd press record, and then soon he was like, by the way, guys, you have a record here.
Yeah,
you know, really. Just kind of snuck it in there.
And they probably come out with like four albums since then. That was 2017.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
And then Don Was went on, and he's doing the Wolf Brothers with Bob
awesome.
Ware. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, all right, we are here today. It's we're recording this on Saturday, May 25th, which is relevant for your mid-show pick.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we're saying that. But I think we're not going to air until May or June 7th, this show.
We're way ahead.
Yeah, we're ahead of things. Anyway, John Primer played last night at the Acorn Theater, and with the help of David Fink, I got an opportunity to ask him a few questions on Thursday the 24th. So kind of exciting. We're going to get to play his interview after having actually seen him in person. I went to the show last night. Great show at the Acorn Theater. Kind of funny. I showed up. I'm late, you know, which is always a little bit uncomfortable. You walking across in front of everybody, and it's pretty settled crowd. They like to actually listen to the music, and such great acoustics in there. Bands are always talking about how they love it there.
Yeah, it's a great room.
So I get their band's not here yet. You know, they're supposed to be there at 4:30 for sound check. Weren't there, and probably got there about 20 after. And they got on stage. Everybody's a little pissy. Everyone, you know, these guys are a little nervous. They're in front of this crowd. They've, you know, pretty big, you know, good crowd, 260, mm-hmm. 300.
Yeah.
And all that nervous energy, all that, you know, kind of pissed off energy at them being late, they started playing, and it all fell away. And
awesome.
These guys were awesome all night. 74 years old. He was really terrific, and his backup band was awesome. A drummer who just, he's just a rhythm machine, man.
Right on.
This dude just tapping away. Awesome harp player.
Okay.
And old school blues bass player. That dude really knew his stuff. Here we go. This is from the last Thursday. And John Primer and I, Adam, wasn't able to get to the studio.
No.
Here we go. Hey, it's John Goldman. I'm here with John Primer, blues legend, scheduled to play at the Acorn Theater on May 24th, 2019. And Mr. Primer, thank you very much for coming on our show. Just wanted to try to understand where you're coming from. So you were born in Camden, Mississippi, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Camden, Mississippi.
All right. And what was it like growing up in Camden, Mississippi? What kind of work did you guys do there? You know, kind of things your parents do? Do you have any siblings?
See, I didn't quite understand what you said.
Oh, yeah. Just so in Camden, when you were growing up, did you have any siblings? Any brothers or sisters?
No, just one sister.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha. And did you live with what kind of work did your parents do? What kind of things did you do down in Camden, Mississippi?
Oh, well, I did a little farming with my grandmother and stuff.
All right.
Know, stuff like that. And
good honest work.
And mow people's yard, put, you know, 25 cents or 50 cents or something like that, you know. You know, did a lot of stuff to make a little change, you know.
Uh-huh, gotcha. And then
I moved to Chicago about 18 years old, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what prompted that? How did you end up moving to Chicago? What prompted that? How did you end up moving to Chicago?
My mom, she lived here. She moved here when I was young, very young there. So she moved here. She was living here.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
When I got 18, she came, got me, and she told me that, you know, 6 years later. Well, when I got 18, she came, got me, yeah.
Okay. Did you play any instruments or do any singing when you were in Mississippi, or did that all happen when you came to Chicago?
Oh, yeah, I sing all the time. I always sing. Even when I was born, my mom said I didn't cry at home. Like I was singing.
Yeah.
So I've been singing, you know, as a little kid, I'd sing, walk around, down the street, the road, and everything, listen to it. If I hear some song I'm singing, what I heard my aunt and them singing when they out in the field playing, you know, blues. I've been singing all my life in the church with my cousin and them, you know, they have been singing gospel in the church, and you know, sometimes I'll sit in and sing with those, my cousin, yeah, all the girls, yeah, singing.
Uh-huh. When did you pick up the guitar? When did you start playing guitar?
I started playing the guitar when I was about three or four years old, yeah. Riding that one, you know.
Yeah. And did you do any performing while you were in Mississippi before you came to Chicago?
Did I do any? No performing. No, I wasn't that good. I learned how to play when I was, when I was eight, I was playing, you know, 8 years old.
Yeah, yeah. So when you came to Chicago, when is the, you know, first time you got into the music scene?
The first what?
First time you started playing in bars or, you know, playing music when you came to Chicago. When was the first time?
First time, with someone or just playing with some band or something. No, I always played, you know, around the house and sit on the porch and stuff like that, you know, the neighborhood. But I think the first band, we had a band called the Brotherhood Band, the Maintainers, but I was down playing with these old guys. We was a whole lot of kids every Friday, most every night sometimes, you know, down in this basement playing with all the kids playing. We playing music with those guys. Called Mr. Little Transistor. We hooked up the TVs and things, you know, get the sound of his guitar. He had one guitar. He played like Mo James and stuff like that. This guy did. But every Friday or some night, everybody would end up dying to the kids, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. A lot of musicians I knew hung out down in there. They were young, you know, 6 or 7 years old. Michael Coleman and a lot of my other guys played were down in there. And then after that we had a band called the Maintainers.
The Maintainers, that's right.
That's the first place I played somewhere out, you know.
Yeah.
That band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were lead guitar, rhythm guitar, what did you do with them? The Maintainers.
Lead guitar.
Okay, good.
In every band I've been in, all we play, I was in two bands before Magic Slim, before Muddy Waters and Magic Slim. But although both of those bands, I was the lead guitar player with the Brotherhood's band, too. Also, you know, I was the leader of that band. And so I was the leader of the Maintainers. I played the blues and soul music.
All right.
Top teams and stuff like that. That's good boys that play all that old stuff.
How'd you get connected to Magic Slim? How did you start playing with him?
I was playing in the band with Muddy Waters, you know, in his band.
Yeah,
I always come down from Junior Wells all the way up to Willie Dixon and then Muddy Waters, and then Magic Slim.
I gotcha. Right. So your first big break was with Willie Dixon, is that right?
Yeah, Junior Wells.
Junior Wells, okay.
Until he's allowed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did you play with Junior?
I was at the house band. I really never played in the band. I did one or two things with him, acoustic. But I played the house band at Teresa Lounge with Junior for like 7 years, seven nights a week.
Oh man, wow! That's how many and multiple times a night? Like, what was that like? That whole scene.
Yeah. Then I got with Then Will Dixon came down and discovered me. I got a nickname, and I played about 6 months in this band. I didn't play very long in this band. Because I was the kind of guy, I was the guy singing and stuff. And I didn't have nothing against them because I loved playing with them, but they wouldn't let me sing nothing. But, you know, everybody else was singing something but me.
Yeah, they wouldn't give you a mic.
No, he knew I could sing because he'd come down and be sitting in the chairs and I'm singing his song that he'd written, Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Water and stuff, and he'd rock it, you know, call me the rock, all that stuff. But they never let me sing, but it wasn't him. It was his bass player, his son, you know, Freddie. He sang, and Philip Branch, he sang, and Jimmy Tills, he sang, and Rafael Lee, he sang.
Uh-huh.
But they never let me sing.
Yeah. Well, I understand that playing with those guys wasn't always easy. Buddy Guy's book, he talks about how, you know, they used to give him a hard time and, not let him play. And, obviously he's still around. He's enjoying himself. It was tough during that time. So then you started playing with Muddy Waters. That must have been quite an experience. How did that come about?
Oh, yeah, well, at that time I was playing with Muddy, with Willie Dixon. In 1979, I went down there with Willie Dixon. And they had a festival in Mexico. Not in Mexico City.
Uh-huh.
In Mexico, the big, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a festival there, so... I was playing with Willie Dixon, and he heard me play, and he asked, Willie, who's that man playing that guitar, young guitar? The band know my music. So,
right.
1980, when the old band quit, he had called Willie Dixon and asked about me. Yeah. And Willie Dixon hooked him up, told him I was playing it, he played Teresa's Lounge, you know. He probably had my phone number. I might have had no phone number back then. It was tough.
Yeah, he found you, though, fortunately.
Yeah, but he found me, Mojo Buford, the harmonica player.
Oh, okay.
With my mother, one of my best friends. He came down to Teresa and asked me about Brother Mudd and guitar player. You want to play with Brother? He's like, I would like to play with Brother Mudd. It's no bad. Yeah. Well, I would have to, because when I was in Mississippi about 13, 14 years ago, I dreamed that I was playing in his band.
Really?
Yeah, because my grandmother used to go to Jackson, Mississippi, and Muddy used to come down every year to the fairground down there, they call it.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother used to go down there and come back singing Muddy Water. I was singing, I'm ready, but you don't know what time, when that came out. I don't know. You got to look and see what year it was.
Yeah, all right. That's part one of the interview with John Primer. Looking forward to getting back to that, but we're going to play some songs first. This is Johnny's Secret Stash on WRHC 106.7 FM in Three Oaks and 93.5 WRHZ in Sawyer, Michigan. Being underwritten by Harbor Country Hydroponics, everything you need to grow your own secret stash. And Adam Conley, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
All right.
That's fun. Good listen.
Yeah, he started, you know, just opening up a little bit more and getting more into that Muddy Water stuff. So we're going to listen to that. But let's play a song. What do you got? Anything you want to listen to?
Yeah, I'm going with some Elmore James. My birthday twin, Elmore James.
And what song you want to hear?
Show Enough I Do.
All right, here we go. Show Enough I Do, Elmore James, Johnny's Secret Stash.
summer sun on a Friday night. I told my baby everything was all right.
All right, that was Elmore James with Show Enough I Do, one of my favorite bluesmen, and a huge influence on one of my favorite musicians ever, Mr. Derek Trucks. They said Elmore James would do shows without a vocal mic, and he would just yell.
Just had that kind of voice?
Yeah.
That, unbelievable.
And, you know, so that's somebody I need to know more about. But we're going to go from that to a Marcus King Band song.
All right.
This is a cover of a Marshall Tucker Band song called This Old Cowboy off their Due North EP, which came out probably 2 years ago, somewhere in there.
Yeah, he's only been playing since like 2014, so
yeah,
somewhere in there for sure.
He's all of 23 years old now, and he's been somebody I've been trying to keep an eye on for the last couple of years, and he's great, and they're a great band. So.
You know, we saw him at the St. Joe Blues Fest, or
yeah,
I'm sorry, whatever
barbecue,
they call it.
Blues,
yeah,
and bluegrass or something
like
that.
Like a rainy day like 3 years ago, and just stood right in front of him.
Yeah.
And now he's playing arenas, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, he's good for him. He's got really great support behind him. I think Warren Haynes is producing.
Yeah,
Warren
did the not the most recent album, but the one before that, the self-titled one, and then the most recent one, Carolina Confessions, was produced by Dave Cobb, who's taken over RCA Studio A in Nashville, which is that room is the reason we talk about Nashville. Period. But Dave Cobb's done Sturgill Simpson, Stapleton, Jason Isbell, and so I was thrilled to see he was manning the new Marcus album, and it's great. This is not off that album, but that's well worth checking out. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. There you go. All right. This Old Cowboy, Marcus King Band. Thank you.
soon as I kiss the lips of another woman, I forget all about you. I don't want you to think you're the first one. Leave me out here on my own. This ain't gonna be the first time. So cowboy, spend the night.
All right, this is the Marcus King Band and Marshall Tucker's This Old Cowboy off the Due North EP.
One of the best. Good one.
Yeah, awesome young guy.
All right, and before we get back to John Primer, I'm going to play a John Primer song. This is off of a 2014 album that he did with Bob Corator, and good song here, Poor Man Blues. And we're Johnny's Secret Stash.
2, 3, 4. That I can. some money so I can loan a helping hand. There are some people in the world today that don't have no food to eat. There are some people in the world today that don't have no food to eat. And we all get together so we can have a place to sleep. They need food, clothes, water, and shelter. Help them through the day and night. They need food, clothes, water, and shelter. Help them through the day and night. And everyone will be so happy. Everything will be all right. All right, Bob.
Right, that's Poor Man Blues. That was a John Primer song. And I said 2014. That's a 2017 album called Ain't Nothing You Can Do. And he did that with Bob Coratore. Good looking album, but I think it was from a, it wasn't through his new company that he, his new, you know, record arm or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, good song and, you know, good representation of the kind of stuff he does.
Yeah, cool.
Good show last night with John Primer. He did a bunch of Muddy Waters tunes.
Oh, awesome.
He did Hoochie Coochie Man. He did I'm a Man. And he did, geez, what was that last one?
Got My Mojo Working?
Yeah, he got, oh, okay. He did. Right. He played Got My Mojo Working. You weren't even there. That's awesome.
I called it.
Got that one. All right, we are going to turn that one back on with finish up this John Primer interview. And he's in the middle of telling about his time hanging out with Muddy Waters. So let me. A little technical issue there. Not too bad. Yeah, let's finish up with this one. And Johnny's Secret Stash, here's the rest of the interview with John Primer.
You know, and all that old stuff he's singing, and So I fell in love with it, all his music.
Yeah.
And since then, he was my idol. Yeah, so.
What a thrill that must have been to get to play with, this living legend that you had.
My dream came true.
And this, when you started playing with Money, that was about that same time that Johnny Winter, started producing albums with Muddy, Muddy Waters, right? Like King B.
They did the Blue Sky on the Blue Sky label, Hard Again or something like I think the group that helped this morning, They didn't do anything with the new band.
Oh, I see.
We got live one, yeah.
That was with that old band.
With
Pine Top Perkins and those guys.
Jerry Portnoy and
Jerry Portnoy,
Guitar Junior.
Yeah.
And, I don't know before. I think Charles Kamik was playing bass on there. James Cotton bass player.
Yeah.
James Cotton's on there too.
Right. But so. So you were part of a band that would play with him out at concerts or at, but these guys were the ones recording with him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then Muddy died in 83. That was pretty sudden. I mean, he was sort of coming back, had a resurgence. Yeah. That must have been a shame. Who'd you play with after that?
Magic Slim.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's when you started playing with Magic Slim. And did you get a little bit of a bigger part when you were playing with Magic Slim? You know, he had a little bit of experience under you and had, been part of Muddy Waters' band. That must have given you some credibility for Magic Slim and his group.
Yeah. I'm still playing on Teresa, though. You know, after I come back in town, I always rock with Muddy. I go down there and I still... Magic Slim, they discovered me down there. Like that's how they discovered me, the same way Willie Dixon came down there. You know, the drummer was playing with Magic Slim drummer Nate Applewhite. Wasn't Steve Christian when I started. It was Nate Applewhite. And Nate Applewhite was like part of the house band at Teresa Lounge, and so he told me. Matt Slim don't need a guitar player, and he told Slim to check me out down at Teresa. Check that. That's what this is, Nate. Take that boy down. That boy down to Teresa there, man. Check him out. He played on the world. He played with Muddy. So Slim did that. He sent his brother down, and Nick hold the bass player, and asked me, come on, let's go outside.
Yeah, right.
And that's how, we go outside and smoke a little weed and stuff. Joint or something. We go out there and he got joint and he's smoking. Hey, man, would you like to play? My brother's guitar player, man. Would you like to play with? Yeah, because Dad Rabbit, he's leaving. He got to leave. He's leaving the band. I said, yeah, man. I definitely will, because Matt Slim, he work all the time, like Muddy. So he said, okay, I tell you what, we playing over, that was on Saturday, we playing over there on Shield, 55th and Shield, at Florence. Now we start playing at 3 o'clock, meet us over there, and bring your guitar and sit in with us, okay? So I did that. And I got in there, and they was playing, and that guy playing rhythm guitar, Petty, Junior Petty, called him Daddy Rabbit. And I'm sitting in my wire, look at these guys, man. And then I could feel something right there, but there's still something missing. You know, and it's in the beat, the way they're playing, you know. Because the bass player playing one note, the way Slim talking to play behind him, one note. Mm-hmm. Wasn't making too much. So I sat in, and all the crowd, everybody liked me, and I could see the people talking, you know.
Yeah.
He's from down to Teresa. So,
were you as good a slide guitar player back then as you are now?
Yeah, so Slim actually, I was on break, so we talking. Slim saying, like, hey, man, I need a guitar player. I'm going overseas. That's 1982. I'm going overseas, man, I'm a guitar player. Sure. Okay. Yeah, man. Would you like to go-go. I did, yeah, I said, sure, man, I got my passport from Winter Dixie. You know? Yeah, man, and from then on, I was in the band. And he asked me how long I want to work with him. I said, hey, man, I'm going to work with you as long as, I'll work with you as long as I can. Because, buddy, you know, I pray if he get well, then, you know, I got to go back to him. He said, all right, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Then when I left, he told me to say, hey, man, if you ever want to come back, just give me a call, 95. But, yeah, so that's how I got in with him.
So what was it like playing in front of audiences overseas, maybe not even speaking English? When you went overseas and played to audiences in Europe and, I don't know, where else did you play overseas? Asia also?
Yeah, I've been most of all the countries over there, you know. I've been everywhere, man.
And what's it like playing to a crowd that may not even speak English? I mean, did it have a different response to you guys playing?
They love it. They understand the music.
Yeah.
Some of them understand. But, you know, since I've been going there, it'll come along with a lot of people who don't know how to speak English up there. Where you go? They speak more English than they did back then, 40 years, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. And they probably speak more English than we speak. You know, any foreign languages.
They speak all different languages, yeah. So they respond to the music, and they, they always come out, you're going to have a sold out crowd mostly everywhere you go. You know?
Yeah.
Because they love the blues, and they love blues and jazz, and they love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at bands like the Rolling Stones and the Kinks, a lot of those. English bands from the 60s, they just ate it up. You know, Rolling Stones named themselves after Muddy Waters' song.
That's right. The Rolling Stones. I'm going to be a Rolling Stone.
And you had a chance to play with the Rolling Stones, didn't you, when they came and played with Muddy Checkerboard?
Yeah. And Buddy Guy's a club band called Checkerboard up there on 43rd Street. 43rd and King Drive.
What a deal that must have been. So, did you guys know that the Rolling Stones were going to show up, or did they just arrive?
There was a rumor going around, but nobody believed it.
Yeah.
No, nobody believed it. So, but they always be there sometime, a lot of times, like when this guy played here all the time every Monday, and sometimes we get left to this. Yeah. A good friend of them, be in town, they said, well, Rolling Stones will stop by. But they did. With Muddy, you know, that's why we knew Muddy them probably knew it, but we didn't know.
Yeah, they just shocked everybody.
They didn't want the room, too much track. They wanted the room to get around.
Yeah, that's true. Not a big place. Probably would have been overrun.
No, and all the people that didn't know when they found out it was just loud and they're trying to get in.
Yeah. So what was that like playing with the Rolling Stones? I mean, were you nervous? Were you thrilled? You know, how'd you feel?
Well, man, I feel great about it. You know, those things I did, I can look back and say, this is what I did with those guys. Yeah. And we did the CD in Chicago playing the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Singing, you know. We did that one. I did two songs on that. I did Angie and I Let It Bleed.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, on the fact, only two got people that did two songs over myself and Jimmy Burns. He did two.
Uh-huh.
That was it, and all the rest of them did one each, you know.
Yeah. So you've got your own label now, is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how many albums have you released through your own label?
Oh, three. I got three, yeah. Yeah.
That sounds good. And you're on tour now for this newest album that you came out with?
Yeah, the new one, yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that the one Ain't Nothing You Can Do?
From that, yeah. Huh?
Is it the one Ain't Nothing You Can Do?
No.
Okay. What's your newest album?
The latest is called Soul of a Blues Man.
All right. You going to play any of those tomorrow night at the Acorn Theater?
I'm putting some stuff over and I have a bunch of them for sale too, you know.
Yeah, right. Sounds good. And who's in your band now? Who can we get excited to see now?
In my band is the guy that plays bass with Magic Slim for 2 years. His name is Danny O'Connor. And our drummer, the drummer that plays with me, he's been with me for about 5-6 years now. He played with Magic Slim also in Magic Slim band for a few years. There's Lenny Media. And the harmonica player, Steve Bell, which is Carrie Bell's son, and Louis Bell, a little brother, Steve Bell. And he plays in my band, too. He's been off and on. Well, he played in my band first for about 11 years. No, 6 years, then he went to Mississippi and Cardisco, Mississippi, and raised his family. He came back. He's been back about 3 years now with me now. And so those are the people I have in my band.
Sounds great.
Sometimes I use 4 pieces, yeah. 5 pieces, yeah. Sometimes I use keyboard player.
Right. Uh-huh. And are you guys on tour now, or is this a special trip?
You know, we in and out in the city. We play, and then we go out in the suburbs. And, like, we was in Michigan last week, and we was in Grand Rapids last week.
Yeah,
we played there, yeah. So, no, we've been outskirts of town, and we haven't been out of town yet. But tomorrow will be our date, next day coming there. And, then we got other stuff around Indiana and different places around, to and around here, and then Europe, and a lot of stuff we got coming up.
Yeah, great. And
Chicago Blues Fest, we had the Blues Fest.
That's right, that's in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, Chicago Blues
That'll
Fest.
Be a fun one.
And afternoon, then we played House of Blues at night downtown.
Uh-huh. Right.
Then after House of Blues, on Sunday, we back at Buddy Guy Legend, playing down there. Started 10:30, we hit around there.
Buddy Guy's place,
uh-huh. Yeah, we're moving, and some other stuff. You know, the website, they can check it out, johnfarmerblues.com.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're on there, yeah. I'm easy to find now. I can't get away. Wide State Street.
Right. Sam played with Derek Trucks. What kind of circumstance was that where you ended up playing with Derek Trucks?
Derek Trucks? When he was a little kid.
Is that when you played with him, when he was a young kid?
When I saw him, I played with him, you know, like guitar with him and stuff like that. But the last time he sat in with me, he was about 12 years old.
Oh, okay. All right. That was about the time
that's probably what that is.
He started being able to get up on stage with Allman Brothers. His uncle is the drummer.
Yeah.
And Butch Trucks. That's Derek's uncle.
Yeah, Butch Trucks and all those people. Yeah, no, I didn't ever get a chance to chat with them. I think we did some festival somewhere when I was with Matt and Slim.
Oh, okay. So yeah. That was what a thrill that must have been to. For Derek Trucks to be able to get up on stage with you guys when he's 12 years old like that.
He was that legend. He was afraid to, I don't know, he didn't want to play with Magic Slim. Because who you want to play with, they pointed at him, me or him, Slim, and he pointed at me.
Yeah.
I guess I could fit his style, you know, Slim being the dog. Well, I guess he just, I'm more comfortable playing with me in the band.
Yeah. Slide guitar players stick together, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Have good safe travels to Michigan. It's a beautiful place up here, and hope to see you. Hope to be able to catch your attention when you're at the show.
All right, there we go. That was John Primer. We recorded that just before he played last night at the Acorn. And one quick story about him playing at the Acorn. Like I was saying, you know, he kind of got there a little late. And the audience was, you know, I guess they're used to people getting there on time and the show starting right away.
That.
And, you know, all right, all good. And no one was really it wasn't that big of a deal, but I think that John Primer was a little sensitive about it. And so someone mentioned time, and I think it was with regard to, oh, you know, what's your next song? You know, what's your timing? And John Primer said, I don't play for time. I play for money. Broke into the next song. It was awesome little getaway there.
Don't poke that guy.
Yeah. All right, we are Johnny's Secret Stash. I'm John Goldman. Got Adam Conley here with me. Yep.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me again.
And want to we're on WRHC 106.7 FM out of Three Oaks, Michigan, and 93.5 WRHZ out of Sawyer, Michigan. Johnny's Secret Stash. Good hanging with you guys today. We are going to close out with a awesome version of Going Back Down South, one of John Primer's own songs. And here we go. Good night, everybody.
Jackson, Mississippi, for a while. Yes, I believe I go back down to Jackson. I believe I go back down to Jackson, Mississippi, for a while. Yeah, you know I wanna see my little baby.
I got two further on down the road. Yes, I got one woman in Chicago, I got one in St. Louis. Said I got two further on down the road. Down the road, hey, we're gonna take a rest, we're gonna take a rest, we're gonna take a rest with the one woman I got in Chicago, and the one I got in St. Louis, and the three I got further on down the road. I'm gonna make them pay before they go.